Welcome to episode number 44 of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, where Christina and I discuss things we suck at in our own fitness journeys. The reason why we wanted to discuss these things is because it's easy to think that because we're fitness professionals, that we have it all together, we're perfect, and that we can't relate to the struggles that, quote, normal people have, when that couldn't be farther from the truth. Today, we open up to you guys and we talk about a bunch of the things that we have struggled with and currently are struggling with in our own fitness journeys to show you that as much as we love to say that we have it all together, we don't. So we hope that you can take some value from this episode and at the very least feel like we're right there with you. As always, if you like the podcast and you want to support it, all we ask is that you share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker who would benefit from it. One share can go a really long way and supports our mission to help as many people as possible to live a healthier, sustainable lifestyle. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode, number 44, Things We Suck At.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, Marissa Roy. And in today's episode, we're going to discuss things that we suck at, to put it briefly. But we do have a few updates before we get into that, so I'll let Marissa take over because something super exciting happened over the weekend.
Yep. So, I mean, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook, then you already know this, but I find it kind of hilarious because we recorded like a life updates podcast on the previous week and we were like, these are all these exciting things happening in our lives. And then Friday, Aaron proposed and we got engaged. So, I'll kind of just walk you guys through this story because I think it's kind of a funny story because the main question I got from people was like, was it a surprise? Like, were you surprised? Did you cry? Like, all of this. And like, the funny thing is that I really wasn't surprised. And like, I'm not upset about it at all, but like, it's funny because of how little I talk about like our relationship on social media because I didn't really realize it until people started asking that. And I was like, oh, right. Like, because we have been talking about marriage and we've been ring shopping and like I knew he had one and like a bunch of my like, like my close friends, which there's like two, know that like that was all happening, but like pretty much everything else has actually been pretty private. So, like I said, we've kind of been talking about this. We're just very open with like discussing the future and our plans and all that. So like I knew it was coming like around this time frame anyways. But basically we went to Arizona, like I talked about in the last episode, for a birthday trip that him and his cousin have the same birthday on September 5th. And they've never celebrated together. So we went out for the 8th through the 18th. And on the last day, on the 17th, before we flew home, Jay, his cousin, was like, let's go to the Phoenix Botanical Gardens today. And I'm sitting here like, in what world do two dudes like agree upon botanical gardens? Right? So I'm like, okay, so like there's like this red flag like waving in my head, right? I'm like, I'm not gonna say anything. I'm not gonna kill their buzz, right? So I pretty much, like, and at this point, I think I've texted Christina and I've been like, we're going to the botanical gardens, ... Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to get pretty just in case. Yeah. And she was like, let me know how it goes.
Yeah. Send me updates.
So, like, I got a little extra dressed up because I was like, okay, we're going to there. And then they were like, let's go to this place called Papa Do, which is like a Cajun, like, style, like, nicer restaurant. So I look it up on maps because I'm like, let me see what this Papa Do place is all about. I see $3 signs and I'm like, ooh. Oh, $3 signs. Like we only normally go to places with two. So I was like, okay, like this is at least a little nicer. maybe we're celebrating something after. I don't know. So, again, I was like, I'm not going to spoil anything because, like, I kind of have seen this coming for a while. And I was just kind of, like, excited, nervous. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So then we go to the Botanical Gardens and we're walking around. And I didn't actually get the chance to, to say this part on my Instagram story because I didn't want it to be too long. But this is actually really freaking funny. So I was like, we got out of the car to go to the gardens, and I'm like immediately checking out like both of their pockets. I'm like, do they have bulging pockets? Like, is there something in there, right? And neither of them do, but Jay has a fanny pack, so I'm like, okay, it's in there, like, if this is happening, right? So we're walking through, and Jay just like keeps taking photos of us, and like, I'm like, why are you taking, so I keep turning around like smiling, I'm like, why are you taking photos of us? He's like, it's just a pretty scene or whatever. Later, we come to find out that he's thinking in his head, oh my god, Aaron could drop to one knee at any second. I have to be ready.
I have to.
When the ring is in his fanny pack. So he's like, and then he realized, oh, I don't need to do this. Like, I have it myself. I have to give it to him first, right? So then we come to this little, like, I guess, divot out in the path that, which is where he proposed. And it's like a really nice view of the sunset. So I took a couple pictures of it, and then I turned around and I was like, what do you guys think of these photos? Like, my camera's not that great or whatever. And they were like, take more photos of the sunset. So I turned my back to them, and I'm like chuckling to myself at this point. I'm like, wow, guys. And so I'm like assuming that there's like maybe a pass off going on, right? And then we take a picture together in front of the sunset, and then he steps back, and it's funny because he actually is holding the ring, like, obviously, like, in his hand in those pictures in front of the sunset to, like, show that he's about to propose. But then he stepped back and he proposed, and I was like, my heart was like racing, and I was like kind of shaking out of like nerves, like, I don't know why. And then I think I blacked out because I'm not sure if I said yes or yeah. and then the rest was history. We did a little mini photo shoot around the gardens, and it was like picturesque sunset. It was
beautiful. It was really pretty.
Yeah, the whole place was super gorgeous, and it wasn't even like peak season there. Like, none of the flowers were blooming on the cacti or anything. But yeah, so that was a proposal. I think I covered everything that I haven't covered already, but it was super exciting. And I was like, that whole night, I was like, oh, I want to tell people. And like, we were going to dinner, and I was like, be in the moment, Marissa, stay off your phone. Yeah. But I was like, I also want to tell like my two best friends and my parents. So I snuck off a text to my mom and dad. And then like later I snuck off a text to you and one other person. And I was like, I'll tell the world tomorrow. Like, I have to tell them.
I remember I was about to get into the shower, so I was like waiting for updates because I was like, okay, so I'm sure as like a girl, you know, that we have like express showers where you just kind of like get in, get out. Like, you just kind of like do the little body wash, and then you have like your medium shower, and then you've got like your full on, like, you gotta shave, wash your hair. So I had to do a long one. So I was like, come on, Marissa. But yeah, that's
the weekend.
So question though, did Aaron ask permission from your dad? I know that's like a super old school one.
Did I tell you about this already?
No.
Oh, okay. This is the part that I also didn't say on Instagram because like I just felt like it was long. But this is actually really funny. So I forgot about this. So we were getting ready to go to the Botanical Gardens, and I was like straightening my hair, and Aaron was like, hey, like, I'm gonna step out to get energy drinks at the gas station. A little bit before that, I was getting really mad at him because he was holding my phone and his phone next to each other, and he was doing something, and he wouldn't tell me what it was. And I was like, what are you doing with my phone? And I kept like asking, can I just see what you're doing? He was like, Nope, I'm just looking at photos or whatever. And I was like, why can't I just airdrop them to you, right? Mm-hmm. So this was like an hour prior to that. He goes, he's like, I'm going to go to the gas station and pick up energy drinks. I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, you want one? I was like, I don't know. I'll just have a couple sips of whatever you have. He leaves. He comes back in like 5 minutes. And I was like, that was ridiculously fast. And come to find out, so the first thing I asked him after he proposed was, did you ask my dad? Because that was very important to me. Just mainly because, like, I've never, like, straight up asked my dad, do you see Aaron as, like, you know, my forever person, right? Like, like, I didn't know, like, if he, like, I knew he liked him. I didn't know if he, like, fully approved or, like, saw that as well, right? Mm-hmm. So that was super important to me. Like, if it's old school, whatever, like, I jive with that.
I did the same thing. I had the same conditions.
Yeah. And yeah. So I asked him, that was the first thing. I was like, wait, did you ask my dad? Because I didn't know. And he was like, oh, yeah, I did it when I went to go get energy drinks. And I was like, are you kidding me? So he literally stepped out and he said he called my dad. And he said he wasn't even able to finish his sentence before my dad said, hell yeah.
Aww.
I know. Like, that really, that made my day. And then we called him later and my dad, like, confirmed that that was exactly what he said. He was like, I honestly didn't even really think about it. It just came out of my mouth. And I was like, okay, that's awesome. So, yeah, he literally did it like last minute. And so when he was on my phone and I was getting pissed, he was sending himself my dad's number and then deleting the evidence.
That's funny. So have I told you the story about my husband and my dad, how my husband asked?
I don't think so.
This is one of my dad's like favorite stories to tell. So so my husband and my dad went to, this is back when we were in Fairfax, they went to the NRA range to shoot. And oh, so boy. I guess he asked him, I don't know if it was before or like after or like while they were shooting, but at some point he asked my dad, and my dad was like, well, we were shooting, like I didn't have a choice. Like I had to say yes. Like, oh my god. Like, cool. Oh, that's dad funny. Yeah, so it's like my dad's favorite story to tell.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, well, yeah. Super excited. I'm excited for you. Congratulations. I'm very excited for your guys' future and to be a part of it.
So the next day after all of this, we fly home, right? And Christina's immediately like, she goes, I know you're trying to soak this up, enjoy it, please enjoy it, but like, whenever you get a free second, let's sit down and let's talk all things wedding planning. And she goes on like list and list and list and list, and we're sitting here like looking at her text like, oh my god.
Yeah, so this is the first thing you gotta do, and then after that we gotta do this.
I know. And like, honestly, like, we're so grateful that like we have that in you, but like, it was so funny in the moment. We were like, Jesus, Christina.
It's important. Venue first.
Yep. So we have our informal wedding planner here.
Yep. Hit me up for all your wedding planning needs, guys.
I know. I was literally joking with him. I was like, I wonder like how much I'd have to pay her to just have her do it.
I would love to.
We can discuss off air.
Yes. So I guess we can transition into the topic for today, which I mentioned briefly, which was things that we suck at.
Yeah, or just like things that we struggle with. I think the idea was things that we struggle with as fitness professionals. And yes, like my train of thought was like things that we either like feel like we shouldn't struggle with, or like things that we like are ashamed to admit that we struggle with, that like our clients struggle with, that like we want to set the example, but sometimes we fall into that trap too.
Yeah. So I think we kind of had like shared our list with each other. So I guess one of the things that we can both kind of touch on, because we both struggle with, is overeating or overindulging. And so this could be in social situations, this could just be on our own, but things that our clients struggle with, and that things that every now and then we still have problems with too. And so I remember you had talked about a vacation that you went on recently with Aaron when you were in Florida. And granted, you had some not so, like, you got food poisoning. Yeah. So those were things that were out of your control. But there were a couple of moments where you mentioned that you had gone out to eat and you had these expectations for yourself, and you kind of went past them, and you felt guilty and you were upset at yourself for doing that. So, I mean, that's definitely something that I struggle with from time to time as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great, like reference point for some, a time that I specifically was like disappointed with myself, but like, honestly, it happens. Like it happens, I guess more frequently than I would like, or like, I guess my expectation for myself is like, well, I coach people to not do this, so I should never do this. Or like, I coach people to listen fully to their hunger signals and not eat past a certain level, so I should never eat past that certain level. But in reality, like, a lot of times I'm walking the same walk as my clients while I'm teaching them something, or it's like something I just experienced the day before, and I'm like, let me tell you about this time that might be helpful to you, right? So it's just always a work in progress, especially because food is so social and so emotional, and food is so much more than just fuel, as much as we try to persuade ourselves that it is just fuel. It's not. So if we get into a situation where we're celebrating, or we're, you know, like under the influence of like alcohol, or like in how in tune we are with those signals, like kind of dimmers off. So like, there's always going to be situations where it's harder to stick to those goals, and there's going to be times where we can hold ourselves down to it, and there's times where we won't be able to do that. And so like, for me, like, I wouldn't say it's like all the time, but it's just more than I would like it to be. I struggle specifically on weekends, just like my clients. I struggle specifically with like certain types of foods. So like saying no to the cookie, or like having extra bites of fries when like, I know I don't really need them. Like, and just like picking off of like Aaron's plate. Like, those are things that I do that I know, like, kind of put me over where I need to be. All you can eat is, like, obviously a struggle, but, like, that's something that we do pretty frequently because we live next to, like, literally a bunch of Korean barbecue, like, all you can eat places. So we do that frequently with friends or family. And so, like, that's super hard. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm still working on and getting better at slowly.
Yeah, so I have definitely come a long way when it comes to overeating. And I think specifically back to college, where I had this idea where you only had to eat clean and you couldn't eat like anything processed. And of course, those are some of the really good foods. And so anytime I had an opportunity to like go out to eat, go into a social situation which there was food, I would just go completely overboard because I had restricted for so long that once I finally had the opportunity, I had this feeling like, well, I don't know when I'm going to be able to eat anything like this again, so let me make the best of it. I'd feel like shit afterwards and feel guilty. And like, so I've come a long way with having more of that like moderation, not deprivation type mindset, and being able to, again, allow myself to have things in moderation. And so that has helped a lot when it comes to certain things. And I definitely don't go out to eat as much as you and Aaron. So I'm not in situations where I have this like all you can eat scenario. But I would say that I've come a long way with, like you said, the strategies that we implement with our clients that I've implement with myself, and being able to, you know, go and pick the things that I really like and then go back and maybe have like a second serving, but keep it light. But when alcohol is involved, that is more difficult for me to, I guess, listen or abide by those strategies. And I definitely drink more frequently than Marissa, obviously not right now when I'm pregnant, which has been, obviously I've been through prep, and so I've gone through very long periods of time of not drinking. So it's not anything that's difficult for me. It's, I miss the taste of it more so than being intoxicated, if that makes sense. But yeah, so I still have my issues with overeating as well. And I think the one thing that's kind of cool though with being pregnant is like my stomach is not as large as it used to be. So I can't eat as much. as before. So I don't struggle with that too much right now. But before, it was, I would say social situations were more difficult to navigate than if I was by myself on a weekday or something like that. But yeah, something I've improved but still struggle with currently.
Yeah, I like how you kind of tied it back to how far you've come and like what it used to be. Because I know for me, like, a really good example of like how different it's been across the years is an extreme example. Like my first post-show meal after my first competition season versus my second competition season. And then I will almost like draw this as a parallel, but like I did a cut earlier this year and I had a cheat day or whatever you want to call it on my birthday. And I remember talking about that on this podcast about like how good I felt about how I handled it. So like, For contrast, the first post-show meal that I ever had, I, like, felt my stomach just balloon out to, like, past my toes. And I was, like, on the floor, like, moaning, groaning, upset. Why did I do that to myself? And, like, I knew it wouldn't be a big deal because, like, I was so lean and I knew that, like, one day wasn't going to ruin my progress. But I was still so guilty and I was still so upset and like the next day sucked and my stomach was bloated. And then the second show, I ate a lot, but I never got to that point. And I don't know if it was because I was leaner or had more muscle or just like listened to myself a little bit better and just was a little bit more experienced, but like it was just overall a better experience with like enjoying the food that I was eating instead of just like completely gorging myself. And then like you guys, if you've listened to the balance episode that we did over my birthday, after that cut, which was a pretty strict cut for like 12 weeks, I had a cheat day on my birthday and I kind of just like had tastes or halves or bites of everything that I wanted. And I kind of just stopped after, you know, one, or, you know, I didn't feel the need to just keep grabbing at things just because it was out. Took home a lot of leftovers, practiced moderation. And so like in that situation, did I still overeat? Yeah. Like I probably still had way more calories than my body needed that day. But like I definitely was just the degree to which was a lot less. And so I think that's just an example of how far I've come with it. And again, it's still not perfect, but I am walking away from more situations feeling better about, even if I did overeat, like how I handled the situation as a whole. And I think that's something that I tell to my clients a lot is like, okay, yeah, you didn't hit your macros or like your exact targets, still went over your calories. Cool. But like, let's talk about like the things that you did that you wouldn't have otherwise done if we hadn't talked about it, planned for it, etc. Right. So like you did swap veggies for fries. You did get a diet soda instead of a full sugar, like all these things that still move the needle forward, even if you did overindulge.
Right. And when you were talking about post-show, like I have absolutely been in that same position. And I was thinking about post-show this year and I loved having my mom with me because she is the exact same as me. Like we can definitely go overboard. Like I've told you guys her ice cream story before. And but when we're together, we have like the almost pretty spot on same food preferences. So we will split a lot of things, which is just absolutely perfect because it's like you're able to get what you want, but you're not eating to the point where you're just like, oh my gosh, I can have another bite, but I feel like I need to finish this. And so, I mean, you know, it was just such a perfect situation. I remember that night I felt so good. I felt so good post-show. Like we split a burger, we split French fries. I think I had a glass of wine and I don't even think we had a dessert that night, or I might have had a bite of something. But then we went back to the hotel room and I remember I had just like a couple pieces of candy that I had that I just ate. And then I was like, okay, well, time for bed. I just remember I felt so good and I loved having her there. And she was just such a good like support system. And same thing, like the following days, like we'd go and get coffee. And I remember we went to this really cute coffee shop and for breakfast, I had this like Belgian waffle with like apples and cinnamon and, you know, but we split it. And so it was like everything was just in moderation. It was so good. And it's like same thing. It's like, yeah, I probably went over my calories post show a little bit more than I should have, but I still handled the situation better, which again, same thing that you talk with your clients about. It's like, how far have you come? How can we look at this experience and what you've improved on? And then how can we take this and continue to learn so we handle these situations even better in the future? So it's the whole thing. It's not that we have to be perfect or we have to be perfect in every single situation, but just continuing to make progress. And if we stick to those strategies and the things that we learn, then we'll be in a much better situation in the future than we are right now and in the past.
Right. And like with the concept of like macros or calories, like I talked about this on my short episode a lot, but it was like basically how do we make these like kind of swaps and changes that you're making permanent, right? So like if you're tracking something right now and you make the swap of like veggies for fries or like a side salad instead of, you know, fried onion rings or something like along with your entree, are you doing that just because you're tracking your calories, or are you doing that because you want to make better choices overall? And if the latter, then that's where it's going to turn into a permanent change. And that's how you're going to maintain your weight loss or your results long term, because you're not going to track forever. And so like, if you keep making choices like that over the long term, those little choices add up, no matter what the calories total up to, or the macros total up to, or your fat intake or whatever. It's really more about like, are you consistently asking yourself, am I making a choice that makes me feel good about how I handled the situation right now?
Yeah. So let's move into a second topic. So I think we both had mindset on our list. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was the like might as well mindset. It kind of goes into like the overeating and such. So mine is more so with nutrition than it is with training. I like, it's very rare that I skip training. And if I do, I don't like make the decision because I want to or because I feel lazy. Like that's something that like I really look forward to it. So I always make the time. But with nutrition, it's like the I'm in maintenance. I'm trying to either maintain my weight or build muscle. So it's kind of like, you know, I might as well eat more or have another this, or, you know, that sort of mindset, or like, it was leg day, I trained super hard, I might as well eat extra. Mm-hmm. And like kind of those decisions that kind of feed into the toxic cycle of overeating. So it kind of goes hand in hand, in my opinion.
Yeah, for me, sometimes the mindset that I struggle with is, I mean, I would say just in a lot of different areas. So definitely still sometimes struggle with mindset. I think post show is the most difficult. And so once I get back into a more normal lifestyle, it's a little bit more easy for me to manage. But before post show, it's like, well, it's trying to find that balance between living life and then still having some of that discipline. And so it's the same thing. Well, I'm in my off season, so therefore I can do this, or I haven't done this in a really long time, even though it's post show and I shouldn't, I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. So some of those things, but I guess I'll tie in my third point with mindset, just because I think sometimes for me they go hand in hand, but sometimes I can get lazy, and I know that we've talked about this before too. So I'm a pretty active person. I get a lot of steps, but sometimes I get lazy with training. And right now my current situation is a little bit different than it has been in the past. So right now I haven't really lifted in a while. I'm still very active, but I'm struggling right now with some like medical stuff related to the pregnancy, which has made me more reluctant and kind of like hesitant to train. So again, I now still struggle with the, well, am I being lazy? Is it because I don't want to train? And so I have to try to battle with those thoughts, which has been really difficult. But in the past, when I'm not pregnant, I still sometimes have those days where I'm like, well, I'm, you know, I'm home from work and I'm really tired and I don't have time, or I don't want to go into the gym because it's really hot and I don't want to sweat, like profusely because we have a garage gym. Or like, you know, I'm just, I don't know, I'll make excuses for myself, but at the end of the day, it's like, I'll go in and I'll do, you know, 10, 15 minutes and I'm like, okay, like, yeah, I want to train. But it's sometimes like getting myself there. And I've talked about that before. It's like how I used to be with softball practice. I loved softball. I loved like everything, but the idea of like getting ready for practice, getting in the car, driving to practice, like the whole time, I don't want to be here. I'd rather do, you know, I've got too much homework. And then I'm there for that hour, hour and a half. And I'm like, oh, this was so great. So that's kind of how I am with training. So trying to get out of that mindset, because I mean, your body, like your mind wants, or your body wants to be lazy. It doesn't want to go and exert itself. So sometimes just trying to fight those mental battles to get myself to the gym.
Yeah, you just brought me back to, like, volleyball, especially, like, preseason for high school. We would do, like, four-hour practices every single day, like, 6 days a week. I just remember, like, laying on the floor in the gym, like, I don't want to be here. Like, everyone would just be laying on their backs, we didn't want to be there. Like, it was going to be a long day, and then as soon as we were done, we're like, oh, this is great. Like, I love this. This is my favorite sport. Like, I feel like athletes can really understand that, like, get yourself in, get yourself started mindset. But then, you know, we work with people that have never done an athletic endeavor in their life, and, like, that mindset, or that, like, force yourself in and you'll be fine, is, like, often foreign to someone who's just getting started. So hopefully that kind of, like, description helped anyone who's listening to this that's struggling with that. And that's not to say, like, I know I said, like, I don't really struggle with getting into the gym. Like, it's true, but, like, that doesn't mean I don't have the mental battles sometimes of, like, you know, I could totally just, like, sleep right now, because we switched to mornings, I could totally sleep in. That's actually been a little bit harder than it used to be, because I, like, training post-work, I think if I were in the position that I am now, where, like, I'm having really long days, I'd be more tempted to push it off. But in general, like, I was shutting off at a specific time, and I was ready to start that gym routine. And, like, that was something I always look forward to. And I think that's what made it so easy, was, like, it was a segmented off part of my day that, like, I'm done with work, I can go train now. But now that it's mornings, it's like, okay, I gotta get up, I gotta jump in a cold shower, and then I gotta get ready for the gym. And, like, so there's all these things that kind of, like, make me want to stay in bed. And so it is kind of harder now that we've made that switch. But kind of, like, for me, just kind of making it a non-negotiable makes that not easier, but just more doable. And knowing that it's just a part of my day and a part of my week that I have to do, and not giving myself really any wiggle room on that. There's obviously exceptions of, like, when your body really does need a break. I had a couple days like that last week, and I was struggling with guilt. Actually, this is a different, like, kind of going into a different topic, maybe same, I don't know. But I was struggling with guilt around taking, like, 2 days off that I wouldn't normally take off, because I normally train on, like, specific days of the week, and, like, other days are rest days. And, like, I remember feeling like, I know I need this break. I know my body was, like, craving the sleep, craving, like, this rest, and I feel really good, but I can't help but feel so, so guilty that I'm taking this day off, and, like, I'm knocking my training for the week down from, like, 5 days to four. And I remember talking with a friend about it, actually, and I really liked what she said. And she said, you know, I think that there's not a black and white distinction of guilt being bad. I think to an extent, the fact that you feel guilty means that you care. It's whether or not you let that guilt take over and create a bunch of other negative thoughts and experiences in your day that matters. And so I really resonated with that, because I wasn't guilty to the extent of, like, it was affecting my mood, my day, my thoughts. Like, I was just kind of like, damn, I wish I could have trained this morning, was, like, really just the thought that went through my head. And I was like, you know, like, she's right. Like, I feel guilty because I care to get my training in, and, like, that's okay. And, like, that guilt almost keeps us, like, and this is not to promote
guilting yourself, but like having a little bit of that kind of keeps it in your head that like, hey, this matters to you. And then it's really just finding that balance between when you feel a little bit guilty and you're like, okay, but I know I'm going to get back on, and like, I'm not letting it affect any other decisions or mindsets of my day, versus what I think most people that we work with struggle with is crippling guilt and like self-hatred and things that really derail the rest of your day and week. That's where it becomes a problem. So I wanted to share that because it was kind of a new perspective on feeling a little bit of guilt that I really liked.
Yeah, I like that perspective a lot. And it's, yeah, it's like, are you just like, oh man, I wish I could have trained, and having that guilt? Or is it like you let that thought consume you the entire day? You can't enjoy whatever you were doing that day where that you couldn't train, and yeah, you couldn't be in the moment, and you were like, oh my God, I'm going to lose all my gains, like da 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 da. So yeah, I think it's good to, and I think it's really good too. It's like, what if it's guilt or whatever it is that you're feeling, like, I think it's good to talk with people about it.
Yeah.
Because they kind of like walk you through. And it's just the same way sometimes, like how I am with when I get into an argument with someone, I have to like kind of almost sit and process and be like, am like, is this a valid argument that I have, or am I being crazy, or like, how is my thought process? And I find that talking with people really, really helps and can help you understand your feelings a little bit more, or if you are wrong, they can kind of steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, I love that. Just kind of using people as a sounding board, or I don't know, having a coach.
Yeah. Yeah. There was something I wanted to input, but now I cannot remember what that was. But I guess that will kind of go into my next thing that I've talked about before on the podcast, which is, you know, not checking in with my coach if I don't have a quote unquote perfect report card. And this is something that I only struggle with in off season. I don't struggle with it in season because I get excited and I look forward to my check-ins, and I can't wait because I'm either going to get changes to the plan to do something the next week. I'll have more cardio, less food. It's weird, as competitors, we do look forward to that, and or just sharing like your wins or like a new low, and it's really, really exciting. But off season, it's hard because you're gaining weight. There are a lot of like internal battles that you're struggling with. And I, you know, it's hard for me, again, as a fitness professional, because I feel like I do try to hold myself to a higher standard, to tell another fitness professional like, hey, I screwed up this week, or I didn't do well, or hey, I didn't do well again. And so it's really difficult. And sometimes I don't show up. And again, situation has been a little bit different now, but I do check in with multiple people now. Even while I'm pregnant. but I think that's, again, that's something that I really struggle with. And then I think is ironic when I email my clients and I'm like, hey, like, do you have check-ins this week? Or like, I haven't heard from you in a little while. So I definitely understand and can relate to a lot of my clients who have felt that way. And I think with something, again, it's ironic because this is something I struggle with, but as a client, to really communicate with your coach how you're feeling and let them know that you are struggling or that you're embarrassed or whatever it is, but your coach just wants to help you. So again,
or they should.
Yeah, they should want to help you and not make you feel bad or berate you or anything like that.
Yeah, I was on a like consultation call with someone who was looking into starting coaching the other day, and she was like, I just have to ask like about the nutrition. Like, I've had a couple friends work with a coach, and like, they like have all these like specific meals, and if they don't hit those exact meals, their coach like gets on them and says like, why aren't you eating this exact thing? And I was like, I'm going to stop you right there because we do nothing like that.
I was yelling at you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But yeah, I actually, as kind of things have progressed with my business, I've had a moment like that as well. So I do force myself to check in every week, but it's kind of been harder with like all the travel that we've had. And like, I did have a moment where I was like, what if I just told Brandon that I would check in the next week because I don't have pictures, I forgot to take them or whatever. But I have like the rest of my stuff, or like, I was traveling, so I don't have a single weigh-in for the past 7 days, and all I have is pictures. Like, And I was like, oh, what if I just, you know, said, like, can I check in next week? And he probably would have been like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But I, like, made myself type up a report anyways because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep it a routine because I know that if I skip it once, I'll probably give myself an excuse to skip it again. And, like, kind of knowing how that cycle goes. But it's really tempting when you're off plan. And for me, it was like, hey, I'm working, like, 10-hour days, and I'm not really getting up from my computer, so my back kind of hurts, and I'm, like, really tired at the end of the day, so I don't really track my dinner, and then, like, I just kind of eat what I feel like, and then it ends up being, like, kind of near my calories. I might be under-eating, and, like, that's all I have. And that was, like,
honestly... See you next week.
Honestly, like, that was, like, the last 2 or 3 weeks for me, because I was just, like, really overwhelmed, and something that I experienced that I've never really struggled with before was not having the headspace to track my food, and being like very overwhelmed with everything else that like it completely skipped my mind to even copy and paste a meal over. And like, it's super easy when I'm at home and in routine, because even if I don't track my meals, they're usually the exact same freaking thing. So like, I can know that I'm pretty much eating the way I should, but when I'm out and we were in Arizona for 10 days, that was not the case. And so I was just like very consumed with work and everything going on that like, I just didn't think about it. And then like the end of the day came around and I was like, oh shit, there's nothing in my app. Like, so then I really had a moment where I was like, I get it. With my clients that say like they go all day and they don't plug anything in and they realize they haven't tracked anything. And I get how that works now. And so that was a moment for me where I really could sit down in the check-ins with the people that have experienced that or continue to experience that and just be like, hey, I hear you. Let's explore like what I've been strategizing with for myself and see if that can help you. So that's been kind of hard.
Yeah. I definitely struggle with not tracking, and it's right now, I keep saying it, but it is really different for me right now because
yeah,
it's almost by like a not minute to minute basis. And again, I don't really struggle with nausea or like morning sickness a whole lot, but in the very beginning, like a lot of things like just didn't appeal to me the same way. Like I love breakfast food, but for some reason, I just didn't want anything to do with it. Vegetables just weren't appealing. Even protein was difficult for me to get in. And that's something that, I've never struggled with. If anything, Marissa and I are the same way. Like, we could go over on protein every single day. But it was just kind of like, I couldn't copy meals over because it was just like, well, what can I stomach today? Like, what sounds... Yeah. Okay. And so I found myself just like not wanting to bother with tracking because I was just like so hungry. I just needed to eat something and I didn't care what it was. And then, but it's the same thing. It's like, well, if I didn't track the day before, it makes it a lot easier to not track the next day and then the next day and the following day. So I was getting into a good spot with tracking and I was on a roll there for a little bit. I tracked for like 3 weeks in a row and then can't remember. I think I went camping and didn't have service, so I wasn't tracking, and then it just continued the next day when we got back. And so I understand it's the same way, like when you go on vacation, it's hard to like get back into your routine because the habits that you had over, you know, however many days kind of continue to creep. So it's the same thing. We can relate with our clients because we have been or might still currently struggle with a few things. So yeah, I definitely right now struggle with not tracking some days.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that like, I'm like consciously trying to remind myself to do. Again, we're at home now, finally. And we're in routine finally. And I said this on my story this morning, I was like, it was really weird having it be Thursday and like not having to pack to go anywhere. And like realizing that I could restock the fridge today and like, I wouldn't have to eat everything out of it or like clear it out. So like, it's nice because like we can kind of get into a rhythm right now for at least a month or so, until we like need to go down and check on our house again. But like, yeah, it's easier when you're in routine and you don't have as much stuff going on. But like with everything that's been happening and all the travel and life events and craziness, like I think one of the biggest takeaways that I really like to emphasize with people and that I tried to emphasize with myself during this time was really just like the foundational habits that like I would do if I were tracking and if I were plugging things in. I tried to just still do those things, even if like the app wasn't like my FitnessPal or whatever, it wasn't a thing that day. So for example, there was a night in Arizona where we went, like the boys went out and I was DD, and like it was a long night and we were at probably like bar number 5.
Oh gosh.
And it was like this rock and roll bar restaurant type thing. There's live music playing, so I knew we'd be there for a little bit. So my tired, hungry self was like, can I please see the food menu? And I was looking at it and I was like, this place has my favorite sandwich, a Reuben. This place has freaking sweet potato fries. I was like, it was like midnight and like my inhibitions were down and I was tired. And then I knew I like wasn't tracking that day because it was just a super long day. And I look at the menu and the waitress comes over and I sigh and I go, can I please have a Caesar salad with grilled chicken and the dressing on the side? Thank you. And I just get this big bowl of romaine, parmesan, and croutons and chicken, and I'm sitting here and I'm eating it, and like the fact that I made that decision for myself made me like the happiest girl in the world. So I'm sitting here like dancing in my seat, like eating my chicken salad, and Aaron looks at me and he's like, you're so adorable, why are you so happy, why are you so happy with the salad?
That's funny.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps someone.
So one of the things I was thinking of when you're talking is like, yeah, it's really nice to be in our routine, and it's really nice when we don't have anything going on, when we don't have any social situations or anything like that. It's a lot easier to stick to our goals, but that is not realistic. That's not how we can live every single day of our life. And we do sometimes have to get uncomfortable, or we do have to make modifications to our plans and our actions. And while we may not be perfect, we're still making steps to kind of stay on track. So, you know, a lot of people will be on consultation calls and they'll be like, well, can I start in a week or two because I'm going on vacation, or I have this event, or I have that. And a lot of times, like, it, you know, if it's within the first week, I'll say, yeah, you know, we can just do like a data collection week and we'll get started after that. Or a lot of times I'll just be like, well, you know, you're going to have situations come up within these 6 months that we're working together. So we just need to figure out how we can navigate them a little bit better so you can still make progress towards your goals. So I think a lot of people put off trying to reach their health and fitness goals because they're like, well, I have this, or I have that, or I have this. And you're always, always, always going to have things. So
it's always going to be a reason.
Yeah. There's always going to be a reason not to start. And so like Marissa and I say, like your health and fitness journey is, once you started it and kind of stay the course, it's for your entire life. So it's not realistic to just start and stop. And start and stop and start and stop. It's, yeah, like you go out to a bar or and you're faced with a situation where you don't order a Reuben and sweet potato fries. Or, you know, maybe you do, but you're able to split it with someone. You know, just a lot of different scenarios where you can still make better choices that are going to still allow you to reach your goals. And maybe it might take you a little bit longer if you weren't like 100% on the plan. But again, you're still making progress towards those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, to finish off that story, so, like, I ended that night, I don't know what time I got back, but there was, like, cookies from, like, Insomnia Cookies or whatever, it like, on the counter when we came back from that night, and I knew I had had that salad. I knew at another place that we went to, the boys got, like, fried potato skins, and I had, like, half of one, and, like, when we got back, those cookies were there, and I broke off like a third of a cookie and I just like took it to bed with me. And I was like,
But it's the principle of, like, am I sitting there and eating, like, five of those cookies because I felt guilty for, like, staying up late and, like, not tracking and not being on my plan? Or, like, just, like, having a bite of something and, like, moving on with my life? And and the cool part is, like, I came back from the trip and, like, I was a little bloated and kind of, like, there were a bunch of days that kind of went, like, you know, wasn't fully tracked or, you know, was kind of just making those decisions as I could and, like, indulging when I could and kind of, like, trying to navigate that balance. Came back from my trip. 2 days after getting back, my weight, like, came back down right to where it was when I left. Like, so you don't have to be, quote-unquote, perfect to make things work. And I love what you said about just kind of, like, needing the perfect time to start, like, there's always going to be an excuse. There's always going to be a trip, a vacation, a work event, something that's going to give you an opportunity to throw yourself off if you allow it to. But kind of redefining what success looks like. It doesn't have to be tracking your stuff and hitting it perfectly. It could just be making a better decision. And, like, you never, I think what you said about, like, there's no point in stopping or starting when your journey is lifelong. Like, you don't get a choice to stop living in your body. So, like, this is lifelong, whether you choose to pursue it or not. Like, living in your body is a permanent thing that you have to deal with. So, like, either you make the choices to make those consequences better for yourself or worse.
Yeah. And we've talked about this too in multiple episodes that, you know, what does your health and success, or what is your health and fitness journey? What does that success look like to you? Because for Marissa and I, like, yeah, we are bodybuilders and we do have very high standards and very specific goals that we're looking for. But a lot of people don't want to look that crazy or extreme and just want to generally live a better, healthier lifestyle. And so, you know, not comparing what your success might look like to someone else and, you know, your choices, like if you're Marissa, eating a salad at a bar at midnight, like that was a win for her. Whereas other people, like it might be indulging in something or allowing yourself to go off plan. Or again, it's what is going to allow you to feel your best and like what those certain situations or strategies look like for you.
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, just always knowing your context and what's important to you, what's going to make you feel better about yourself, about your choices, about your life every single day and the choices that you make. I love that.
Yeah. So I don't really have anything else to add. I think that we went over a nice little recap and things that we struggle with. So again, this was a little bit of a more unstructured episode, but we hope that you guys still enjoyed it. And, you know, we are always looking for feedback. So if you are liking these episodes a little bit more unstructured, or if you want us to go back to what we were doing before, let us know. But if you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. You can find both of us on Instagram. You can find me at Christy Lynn Fit and Marissa is at Marissa Roy Fitness. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we hope to see you back next week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.